it's all about, like, love, which is, like, I know we talked about agape yesterday, but it's also, like, how do we, like, we know, like, this perpetual gift that Jesus gives us, not only is, like, this joy and enthusiasm, but we also have love to give to other people. And if we're filled with it now, the question is, like, what are you going to do with it? I mean, it's really good and all to keep it inside of you, but you guys have friends, you guys have family out there that haven't been on this weekend that are waiting to be touched by something like this. So it's up to you guys to bring it to them. So this next person is, like, one of my favorite people. It's someone I look up to constantly, and I have for years. She's been a role model. Like, she was team director a while ago, like, when I was, like, first on team, and she's one of the most inspiring people.
That's true.
So, I can't help but just, like, with all my heart, totally announce the person that gives so much love to people, that inspires so many, but Miss Deanna Lodi.
Is my mic going? Can you guys all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a big room. I gotta make sure, you know? I'm not just giving a talk for the front half out here. Okay. So, for those of you who don't know, I'm Deanna Lodi. And hopefully this weekend you've heard a little bit something about a guy called Jesus? Hopefully you know who that is by now, because he's in this talk pretty heavy. So, the main point of a lot of the stuff we do, totally just bit. Great, I know not to do that now. Okay, the main point of this entire weekend and of Christianity as a whole is that Jesus came to fix what we broke. Because if we were back there in that time, we wouldn't have been John and Mary. We would have been the guards, and we would have been the ones who, because we've all forsaken Jesus. I've done it, you've done it, but the beauty of that is that when we break God's plan, when we mess it up, Jesus is right there with the duct tape. He is the man with the plan to fix it, because Jesus knows exactly what needs to be done to fix everything we've broken, because he knows our heart like no one else. Now, there was a lot of God's creation that is so beautiful that we overlook every day. Now, in the book of Genesis, it's all about, you know, God creating the water and the stars and the sky and the earth. And I feel like these are things that we can all appreciate. I feel like once in a while, when you go out and you see the stars in the sky, you just feel that moment of wonder. Now, why aren't we feeling that moment of wonder all the time? Because of the brokenness. Because God's plan has kind of been messed up. We did that. But there are so many beautiful things in Genesis. I mean, I love the water and the waves and the fire, and everything about it is wonderful. But my favorite is Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, which reads, I am on the wrong page. It reads, I put this thing in today. God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And I like being a human, right? Pretty great. But that's not the point. To me, for those of you who don't know, I'm an artist. And I like to think I'm a pretty good one. But all I draw, pretty much, is people. Because there's something about humans that nothing else can capture. There's something about the beauty and the expression that is so different from everything else that I could draw any one of you in this room just sitting how you're sitting, and it would be more interesting than any still life I could ever create. You can't add layers to other things. I gotta stop doing that. You can't add layers to other things like you can add layers to humans. I can't look at a drawing of a tree and think, oh, that tree is sad and hurt, but still hopeful. But you can do that with people. And that's, I think people are so beautiful. But what have we done with that? We've done a lot with that, but not all of it's been very good. Now, I mean, I'm sure you guys know all about abortion and war and abuse and all of that, but that's not really what we're here to focus on. We're here to focus on the fact that Jesus fixed it. Jesus can come in too and fix the way we think about ourselves today. Our, I just look out for me, I'm number one, whatever I want is the top attitude, because think about it. what's that doing for us as a society? What's that doing for us as a community? I mean, think about Antioch. Here, hopefully, you feel like other people care about you more than they care about themselves. Because that's what it's about. Because that's what Jesus does. Jesus cared about everybody else more than he cared about what he had to do and what was going to happen to him, so much so that he died for it. If Jesus cared about himself, none of us would have made it to heaven. None of us would even have a shot because he wouldn't have died for us in the first place. So there's something about that bridge back to God that Jesus created, but it seems a bit complicated. Sometimes it's hard to try to live that life and just, okay, well, Deanna, you say, like, just love everybody else more than yourself, but that's not easy. How do I know when I'm doing that? How do I know what to do with that? But Jesus thought of that too. And that's why he sent the helper, the Holy Spirit. And hopefully, a lot of you guys I know out there, because people in general always say, you know, I understand, like, God the Father, like, he's the powerful one, he's looking over you, he, like, gives the support, Jesus is the love, he's helpful, he guided you through, he was a human, he understands. And then everybody always, I don't really understand the Holy Spirit. Like, I guess he helps me and stuff, and I guess he's, like, inside me, like, working through me, but I don't really understand him as well. But for me, I understand the Holy Spirit the best. Because there's something about just the Holy Spirit is the breath in my lungs, because I don't want to do anything that would make the Spirit sad. And that is how you live without hurting others. And obviously, you take it step by step. It's not, you don't just wake up doing everything according to the Spirit, right? Like, that's just not how it is. But Jesus knew that we needed the helper, so he sent him. So as long as we can follow the Holy Spirit, we'll all be fine. And it's not as difficult as it may seem, because it seems in the beginning very daunting and very impossible if you've never tried to follow the Holy Spirit, because you're like, where is he? What's he all about, you know? But it's all about just if you open yourself to the Holy Spirit, he'll work through you. I was talking to my friend Vicky the other day, who's actually on EV and praying for me right now. Thanks, Vicky. About how I was like, you know, the Holy Spirit just does things for you. I've woken up in the middle of the night thinking, I need to text my friend. And I text my friend and they're having a terrible time. Things like that. And she says, you know what? I think things like that have happened for me too. And it's because we've opened our lives to the Holy Spirit and he's able to be like, hey, I got something for you to do, because we're listening. And you may not know it's him, but it's all about just being open to God. If you're open to the Holy Spirit, he's going to do amazing things through you. And it's also easier because we have the church. It's not just you trying to learn this on your own. Hey, good luck, buddy. Follow the Spirit. No, like, you've got us. You've got people like us who've been doing it for a little bit longer, who kind of know how it goes. And that's what the church is all about, because the Spirit changed the church, and the Spirit changes us too. Now, a lot of people don't exactly know what the church is, because it's like, you know, I used to think, oh, the church, it's back there, it's a building, that's the church. But not quite. It's not just a building. It's us. It's us as a whole, as a community, trying to live as Jesus did and love each other and be a solid community. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. That's what that means. We are his hands and feet. We do his work and we live as his community. That's what the church is. Now, the most important thing to me about the church is the support. I mean, a lot of you guys are probably at the ground level just starting off with your faith, and that's fine because I remember when I was there, and it's hard. But the best part of that, and even as you grow up, I still need support. I've been a hardcore Catholic for like 8 years now, but I still go to Rick, and I still go to my older friends for support because sometimes you don't know what to do. And that's why you can't do it alone. That's why your community is so wonderful. Because your community just wants to help you. These people in the chairs around you, every single person has something to impart on you that you wouldn't have known. So the more of that you get, the better. Now, Jesus asked us to be a family. And that's what that's all about. We need to be like a family. Because families are supposed to support each other. And good families do all of that. But most importantly for the church, we worship together on Sunday. That's like our big like family like Sunday meal with everybody as the church. And in the outline for this talk, they had such a good line that I wanted to read it to you guys. It's about why we get together on Sunday at the Eucharistic celebration. It reads, It is to rejoice in our common bond in Jesus, to remember and offer thanks for his saving sacrifice. In our prayer together, we praise and honor God as a people bound together in Jesus. So it's not just us getting together to stand up and sit down and listen to Father talk and try not to fall asleep. It's about us being together in Jesus and living life, trying to get together and support each other so that we can live life the way Jesus wants us to. Because that's a struggle. It's very hard. But we can all do it together. Because we are the universal church, which means it's for everybody, right? There are certain religions in Africa that worship like the rocks and that's not for everybody. But for us, we are a universal church. We're supposed to go out and get people. We're supposed to do what we've been doing here at Antioch and reach into people's lives and say, you're missing something. And I know what it is. And I can help you find it. And that's the core of Jesus's ministry. It's all about bringing people in. And one of the main ways that Jesus brought people in was service. Jesus was all about service. Jesus had such a servant's heart because when you love everyone, you want to do everything for them. You want to help them in every way you possibly can. Now, I'm sure most of you have seen in the Passion, or hopefully remember from the Passion, when he washed the disciples' feet. He washed their feet right before, well, sort of before, he went to die on the cross, and he told them to do it to others. Now, we're not supposed to, like, physically definitely go out and just wash people's feet and that's all it's about. It's about Jesus humbled himself before the people who were looking up to him and said, I love you guys too. I'm serving you, so you go out and serve everyone. And now we're serving you, and you need to go out and serve everyone. And it's hard. But one of the biggest things is going back to the community. Now, there's a big community out there, and there's a community in here, and they're very different. And I like to think that the community in here is a lot more like the early Christians. And the early Christians had a very good community. And I'm going to read about it because, from the Bible knows best. The Bible can always say things better than I can say things. So I'm going to read from the book of Acts, if I can find it. Chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And this is back in Jesus' time. This is right after he died when the apostles were going out and trying to reach out and get everybody. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and divide them all among all according to each one's need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area and to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Now, could you imagine if we all lived like that? How much easier would it be to be a Christian if everybody got together and was pretty much like this retreat? Because I think this retreat is one of the closest things we have to that, where we do the breaking bread together, we do the prayers together, and I especially love the part where it says, they ate their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart. And I don't know if you guys sit down at the cafeteria like we do here, with all that happiness and all that joy, ready to talk to anybody and make new friends, but I don't think that's how it usually happens, or at least it wasn't like that when I was in high school. You sit with your friends, and you do your thing, and you don't talk to anybody else. But imagine if the world was full of Christians, Christians who were ready to do that, who wanted to meet people and reach out. You guys can be those people. But how do you do that? That sounds pretty hard. And if you would have said that to me years ago, I would have been like, Deanna, that's impossible. But I've been around the block a little bit longer than most of you probably at this point, so I can give you some pointers. Now, we're all about the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and Jesus serves through us. So we have to serve. And serving is like kind of a general word. Like, obviously, there's serving at the soup kitchen, which is great and good and one of the things I'm going to talk about. But the Holy Spirit in service is just giving back to the community. It's trying to do things for other people. So you can serve in, I chose four ways. If you're starting out, maybe just pick one. Work on a couple, you know? Be thinking. Try to pick something for yourself. The first, I say, is the most important, and that's to spread love. It's hard, and it's harder for some of us who are maybe a little bit snarkier, but once you learn to spread love, you make the earth like heaven. You make it wonderful because everybody knows that you're out there for them. You're supporting them. You're there for them to do what they might need you to do and be there as a friend. And that's the main goal of Christianity. And I have an interesting quote from Mother Teresa, actually, about this, where it's about how you should live your life by spreading love. And it's actually a reporter came up to Mother Teresa being kind of cheeky, and he said, "Mother, you are 70. When you die, the world will be as it was before. What has changed after so much effort?" And instead of Mother Teresa being like, "Whoa, I've done a lot," she said, "Well, I never thought I would be able to change the world. I have only tried to be a drop of clean water in which God's love could sparkle. Does that seem little?" And I think she's right. You don't have to go out and change the world and convert everybody and make the entire world like this retreat. But what you have to do is make it so that people can come to Jesus through you. You've got to spread that love. You've got to be that person that could be in a world of those people, of those kind and loving people that we wish could be out there. You have to be one of those people, because in your lives, think about who's that drop of pure water for you. And think about how important that is. Somebody has to do it, and I think it should be us. Another way is by teaching. You can serve by teaching others, gently. Now, I know sometimes I'm a little bit, gotta do this, gotta do that, especially with my brothers. They'll be like, "I should probably," and I'm like, nope, rules. But that's not what love does. I'm doing it because I love them, and I should show that. So when you're teaching someone, you should teach them gently and try to guide them. Try to put them on the path through life that maybe steer them the right way when they're kind of going the wrong way. Be that force of love, because love doesn't sit by and let people do things that are hurting them. That's not what love is. And I'm sure you guys heard that from Rick. Because love is trying to get someone to be as close to, hello friend, as close to Jesus as possible. Love is about trying to get somebody close to him so that they can live happily. Because think about how happy you are right now as compared to when you walked in on Friday. Hello friend. I mean, it's wonderful. There's so much joy in this room, so we should bring that joy to others. And one of the ways we can do that is by volunteering tangibly, like serving. Because Jesus wanted us to serve the least of these, the people who were ignored, the homeless, the hello microphone, the homeless, the people who are out, like on the outskirts of our society that we ignore. Those are the important people because they're part of the body of Christ too. And we can't just ignore them. But I'd say, aside from spreading love, the easiest thing you can do is start with yourself. Start with yourself and lead by example. Now, I'm not the best, I'll admit. I should be better at going out and being like, "Hey, Jesus, love Jesus. I love Jesus. Let's all love Jesus together." I'm not very good at that type of evangelization, but everybody who knows me knows that I love Jesus. They all know that I love Jesus, okay? They know because it's the way I act. I lead by example. People say, "Why won't you do this?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, Jesus loves me and Jesus doesn't want me to do that." People know. People can tell because I lead by example. And I've had friends tell me, sometimes when I'm not sure if I should do something, I think, "Would Deanna do this thing?" And I think that's not as good as, "Would Jesus do it?" Because I'm not Jesus and I do make mistakes. But it's good to have those people in your life, so be those people to somebody else. Lead by example. Don't have tolerance for injustice. Don't stand around while things are happening that shouldn't be happening. Own Christianity. You know? Make it a part of you. Don't just have it something that you tuck off into the corner. And yeah, I know it's hard sometimes, because sometimes people are like, "Ah, the Jesus freaks," and all that, but why should you care? I would rather be a Jesus freak than ignore Jesus' love and live a different, complicated, harder life where I'm ignoring the love that God gives me. That just sounds dumb to me. I'm not going to do that, and you guys shouldn't do that either. So from now on, day by day, step by step, I want you to be better. And when you fall, you can get back up. And you can become better every day. You can become that example. You can become that love. You can be the Jesus to people who need him most, the people in your lives who need him. And we can become that community. Because that's our call to love. Thanks.